I want to praise God today for your presence here today. We're going to talk this morning a little bit about Jesus Christ and His blood.
You know, Jesus, they come to Him and they took Him in the middle of the night. He had just ate what we determined to call the Lord's Supper, and as they come to get Him, they took Him, and He didn't resist them. He went with them without any resistance. And He took Him from one trial to another trial to the next day, and He stood before Pilate, and He was convicted to be crucified. But before He was to be crucified, He was also convicted to be beaten with stripes. And they took Him out there and they planted a crown of thorns and put it on His head. And those thorns, no doubt, pierced His skin and a little blood ran out. And then they took Him to the whipping post and tied Him to that post. And they took the whip and they beat Him with that. And I've read and heard about the scourges of the Romans, that they used a whip that would have sometimes rocks and things like iron tied in the end of it. And then it would lay the open skin to a man's back. It would cut even the deepest of the bone. No doubt Christ lost a lot of blood right there. There was a lot of blood, no doubt, run out on the ground from His body. And many men die right there. Many men would die and not make it any further. You see, the Romans had a way of punishing people. They didn't want anybody to be involved in criminal activity. And so they had very strict examples to people to see. They did it out in the open where everybody could see their punishment. And that was a deterrent to crime. And then they took Jesus and they tried to make Him carry His own cross, but He was too weak. And so He carried that wooden stake up there and they nailed Him to it. And no doubt there was a little blood ran out then too, as they drove nails through His hands and through His feet. They were big old spikes. Had to be a large thing to hold Him up on there. And then they stood that thing up or left Him hanging there till He died. And He died there that day, and the soldiers come by, and they wanted to make sure that He was dead. And they wanted to bring Him down off the cross before the sun went down, because that was a holy day to the Jews. And so the soldier reached up with a spear, and they pierced His side, and they stuck a spear up in his side there, and out come blood and water. Just like when we killed a hog in years gone by. They take that animal, and they pull it up on the rack and they pierce his throat and sometimes his side and stick that knife way up in there and make sure all the blood run out to bleed it. And Christ's blood run out on the ground just like any animal's blood would have. Run down on that rock. You know, they crucified Him up on a big old rock. It was the hill there was kind of like the name of it was like a skull. So I see a big old rock with no grass growing on it, you know. And His blood spilled out on that rock and run down into the cracks and down on the ground. The blood, the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the living Son of God. Now that soldier didn't know that. He didn't realize the value of that blood as it poured out on that rock. And no doubt he didn't see the likeness of that blood to a sacrifice made on an altar. But it was. And as it poured out there, it run out on the ground just like anybody else's would. Just like any blood would have. But it was the precious blood of God's only begotten Son. In Exodus 12 and 13 it says, "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." God was bringing death of the firstborn upon Egypt. He was bringing judgment upon that land and upon that people. And when He come, He told the Israelites to put the blood up there. The blood over there at the doorpost. In Exodus 12 and 23 says, "For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when He sees the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you." That blood was a type to Christ. That lamb that was sacrificed that night was a type unto the Lamb of God. It was called the Lamb of God. And it was a type to Jesus Christ. And you see, they had to have the blood of
They had to have it at three places.
They had to have it on the lintel, which would be the top, and the two posts on the sides, it says. Do you think they just took a little bit of that blood and put up there? I think they put a lot of blood up there. Because they knew that the death angel was coming, and if he didn't see that blood on the doorpost, he was coming into their house and the firstborn was going to die. And they knew that he was coming to kill and to destroy. And so they would make sure they had plenty of blood on that doorpost. It wasn't just a little bit of it. Not just over the lintel. Or not just on the doorpost. There was a lot of blood there on the top and on the sides. So the death angel would pass over. A lot of blood. And so, you know, we today, you and I, we are guilty of the blood of Christ. We're guilty. That blood that was spilled that day and run down on the ground, that precious blood of the Son of God, we were the ones who caused it to happen. We caused it to take place because we're sinners. Christ had done no sin. He committed nothing wrong. And we are all guilty of the blood of Christ. Just as surely as we killed him. You know, when Cain killed his brother Abel, his blood spilled out on the ground. No doubt, much like the blood of Christ, it just went out on the ground. And God said, "Your brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." It cries out from the ground of what you've done. And so Christ's blood cries out before God of our guiltiness, of our sin. Because it was because of sin he was crucified. Because of sin he gave up his life and his blood. And so we're ever one guilty. We're guilty of the blood of Christ if we've ever told a lie. If we've ever taken something that didn't belong to us, we're guilty. If we've ever had a hard feeling, a hatred in our hearts, or wished evil upon our brother or somebody around us, we're guilty. You're guilty of the blood of Christ. We all are. And we need it. We need it in our life in three ways, just like they needed it. So that the wrath of God would pass over us. And this what happened in the land of Egypt was a type unto the sacrifice of Christ and to his blood. And the blood on the doorpost was a type to us having Christ's blood on us. We need the blood of Christ on every one of us. Because we're all guilty. And we need that blood that God will pass over us. Hebrews 9:22 says, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. Without the shedding of blood is no remission." There has to be shedding of blood for there to be remission of sin. And so when we pray, we need to be exceedingly grateful and thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ. It did what the blood of bulls and goats cannot do. It did what you and I cannot do. There's not anything that we could do to remove our sin or to cleanse us of the things we've done in the past that are wrong to make it right. If you went out and killed somebody, there's no way you can undo that murder. If you ever told a lie, there's no way you ever can go and make all that right. You've always told that lie. And so the only thing, the perfect sacrifice, the ultimate perfect sacrifice, was Jesus Christ and his blood that was spilled for our sins. It did what we could not do at all. Hebrews 10:4 said it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Hebrews 10:17-20 says this, "And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now what remission of these is, there is no more offering for sins." Once and for all, Jesus died. There's nothing else that can be offered for sins. His blood was shed for once and all, for everybody, and one time for all the world. And then he says in verse 19, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus." What is the holiest? The holy of holiest is the very presence of God. Only by having this blood on us can we come in the very presence of God. He said, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest
by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil that is the Savior's flesh. So Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice once for all for sin, for my sin and your sin. And that's why we're guilty. He died for us to save us from the wrath of God, from the judgment of God that was coming. The blood of Christ does eight things for us, the Bible lists. Eight things. We're justified by His blood. Justified. Romans 5 and 9, it says, much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath of Him.
Do you know what justified means? When we're typing something on a letter, and you can, on the computer, you can click up there to justify right or justify the left. On a typewriter, you justify, you'd set it to justify right or left. And sometimes with a computer, you can justify both sides. But what justify means is to be made straight. By the blood of Christ, we're made straight. We're made right. You see, we were crooked, we were evil, and we are sinners. But we're justified by the blood of Christ. It makes it straight, to fit straight down the page, making a straight line as you print and type that. That's what justified means, to be made right. We're justified by His blood. We're sanctified by His blood. Hebrews 13 and 12, wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate. Now what does sanctify mean? It means set apart. We're set apart for a purpose. And that's what the word sanctified means. These people have been set apart for a reason. They're sanctified by the blood of Christ. And so we are saints in Christ. And that's what he's talking about. We are set apart from the rest of the world by the blood of Christ. We are redeemed by the blood of Jesus. 1 Peter 1 and 18. For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from the Father, but with the promised blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Jesus was brought as a lamb without blemish and without spot. And therefore he was able to redeem us because he was not guilty. Now what does it mean, redeemed? Well, on the Jewish law, they had a law of the Jewish custom, and that's what he's talking about in the custom of the father. If you had a brother and he had been sold into slavery, you could go down there and you could pay the price of his slavery and redeem him and set him free. Now that's what redemption means. That's what redeeming means. It's kind of like if you had in your house, you had maybe some cows or some goats or whatever, you had a bunch of them, and you told someone, go over there and get all of them, but this one, this special one, that I'm going to keep it. But they went and they sold them all. And there's one of them you decided you want to keep, and you went to whoever bought it, and you bought it back. You bargained for the price, and you bought it back and brought it back home. That's redemption. It was redeemed, and that's what the blood of Christ does for us. It redeems us back to God. We were sold into slavery of sin, just like Joseph was sold into slavery. We weren't born in slavery. We grew up and was sold into slavery by Satan and his evil works. And so then we are redeemed by the blood of Christ from our slavery. We are made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. We draw closer to God. When the children of Israel went out into the wilderness and Moses was going up to talk to God upon the mountain, and the people kind of rushed up there and a lot of them died, and God told Moses to keep the people in the camp, and he'd come along up here lest the people run up and get too close and they die. Sin cannot stand in the presence of God. And just the natural being of our being, what we are, we're sinners and we're vile and we're corrupt and we can't exist in the presence of God. It's just like, you know, it's like something getting too close to the fire. It will die. It'll be burned up. But the blood of Christ covers us that we can come nigh to God. And so we're made nigh to God by the blood of Jesus Christ. We
have forgiveness of sins through His blood. In Colossians 1 and 14, it says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. See, redemption and forgiveness of sins, same thing. Even the forgiveness of sins. In Ephesians 1 and 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. We're bought by the precious blood of Christ. The church, the people that are the church and are in the church, they're bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Acts 20 and 28, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock of which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which He had purchased with His own blood. He purchased it with His blood. He paid that price for it. He bought us. And when He bought us, He washed us and cleansed us with His own blood. In Revelation 1 and 5, it says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. You know, how do we get rid of our sin? We can't go back and undo it. But Christ washes us in an effect, in a spiritual way, with His blood. So that when God looks at us, He sees that blood, like seeing the blood on the doorpost, and He doesn't see our sins. And He doesn't destroy us. And so we have remission of sin in this blood. Now, remission and forgiveness are a lot like the same things, just like redemption and forgiveness are like the same thing. It's all talking about basically same concepts. We're made right with God. Romans 3 and 25. Whom God has set forth to be appropriation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sin that are passed through the forbearance of God. So in the blood of Jesus Christ, sins we've committed in the past are covered and washed away, and we are then redeemed, we're bought, we're brought forth close to God, sanctified and justified in the sight of God. But we're all sinners. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come show the glory of God. And Romans 6 and 23 says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. We talk about grace. There's the grace of God. Gifts. Something we didn't earn. Grace, a favor that's given unto us that we could not earn it. We could not have bought it. We could not have done anything to cause it to happen. We did not have it within the power of ourselves to remove our sin. But by the blood of Jesus Christ, we're washed and cleansed of our sins. We need Jesus. We need His blood. We need Him as our Savior and our Redeemer. That when the judgment day comes and the death day comes and the death angel passes over, He'll pass over us. For He'll see the blood. We need the blood of Christ applied to us. But how do we do that? How do we apply blood to us? How is it applied? How do we get in contact with the blood? You know, it's not a physical thing that I can go out here and see and touch. How am I going to do it? I can't get it in a bucket and pour it down over me. I can't take it out of a bucket and splash it, pour it up on the doorpost of my house. It ran down on the earth 2,000 years ago. So how is a reasonable question to ask. How shall I have the blood of Christ on me? How do I put it on my doorpost and on my lantern? So there are three ways. Three ways. Just like we were talking about back there, and I thought that's kind of funny. Not funny, but interesting that there was three places that blood was applied. It was applied to the lantern and to the two posts on each side. And so there's three ways. One is done daily. As a Christian, we do it daily. When we pray, when we read and study and pray and ask God to forgive us of our sins. And 2 Timothy 2 and 15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, he says, pray without ceasing. We're to continually keep praying. Daily, daily, hourly, whenever it's necessary, we need to keep praying about our sin. 1 John 1:6, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses from all sins. I want you to turn over there, if you would. If you have your Bibles on, read that, will you? Let's read that. 1 John 1:6. Well, we'll read verse 5 also. This is the message which we have heard of Him and declared unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How's He going to cleanse us from all unrighteousness? He's going to wash us in the blood. And we need to be washed daily. Because daily we sin. Secondly, it's a weekly thing that takes place in a Christian's life. A weekly event where we can come in contact with the blood of Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians 11. If you would, turn over and read this with me. 1 Corinthians 11. We'll begin reading verse 23. And we want to read all the way down through verse 31. And we want you to see the cleansing, a weekly cleansing that's to take place. Verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus the same night in which He betrayed took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke and said, take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of Me. At the same manner also He took the cup when He had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as oft ye drink it in remembrance of Me. For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He come. Wherefore, whosoever shall be eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. But eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. It's not that anybody will be free of sin and worthy to partake in the sense that we think of the word worthy. But what he's talking about is the manner in which and how we partake. We're all sinners. And as we come before here to partake, we take in remembrance and discerning the Lord's sacrifice. Looking back to that cross. He says in verse 30, for this cause many are weak and sick remain, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. We see it as a time of self-judgment. But when we are judged, we're chastened to the Lord, and that we should not be condemned with the world. So we receive chastisement once a week. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, carry one for another, and send them hunger, let them eat at home, that you come not together to condemnation, and rest my city in order when I come. So it is a time in which we come in contact with the blood of Christ, and we perform a self-examination, a self-judgment, and we're chastened to the Lord by the things that we see in our lives, and so we're cleansed because we're going to confess our sin and ask forgiveness of our sin. We're cleansed weekly. Weekly, we come in contact with the blood of Christ. We drink that. We have that as part of His flesh and part of His blood. In John chapter 6, Jesus said, if you drink not My blood, you have no life in you. We all participate in this spiritual feast that we have with the Lord, this spiritual meal of communion that we have with Christ Jesus. And we come in contact with it once when we're baptized. I say the first for last. I did that on purpose. You know, the Lord said the first shall be last and the last shall be first. Well, I say the first to last. Because had you not been baptized into Christ, then you would not be in the body of Christ. You could not discern the Lord's sacrifice because He had not been your Savior yet.
had you not been in the body of Christ, and you could not
go boldly to the throne of grace, being covered by the blood of Christ, to pray to God and ask for forgiveness of your sins. The writings in the letters of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 there that we read was written to people who were already baptized.
The writing that we read here in John, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 6 there on down, was written to people who had already been baptized,
were in the body of Christ. For you see, this is where it's applied to us first. This is our first application of the blood of Christ. In Acts 2 and 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Notice, for the remission of sins. And we've already pointed out a verse, and we're going to read it again, that shows that the remission of sin, the blood was given for remission of sin. Romans 3:25. He says, and God has set forth to be appropriation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sin that are passed through the forbearance of God. And you see, those two verses, both of them use the same terminology, for the remission of sins. The blood of Jesus Christ is for the remission of sins. And being baptized into Christ is for the remission of sins. So this is where you come in contact with that blood the first time in your life. Acts 22:16. He says, and now why carest thou? Rise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord.
You see, being baptized is equated to washing away your sins. So also, if we're washed, our sins are washed away in the blood of Christ. In baptism, our sins are washed away. In the blood of Christ, our sins are washed away. They're one and the same thing. It's where we come into the contact, where we're covered with the blood of Jesus Christ. Remember, Revelations 1:5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And so we see there we're cleansed. You see, turn to Romans chapter 6 and read with me, please. In Romans chapter 6, we'll start with verse 1. Remember, he's writing to Christians that have already been baptized. He's writing to the church. Verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? You see, it's in baptism that we go into Christ, and it's there that we contact his death, and it was in his death on the cross that the soldier pierced his side and his blood ran out. It is in his death that we contact his blood. Verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. For we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. This is where we come into the contact with the blood. This is where it's applied to our life once. And then we have to come confessing sin and asking for sin, praying for forgiveness, and through that we come in contact to it again and keep in contact with it. In Galatians 3:27, for many of us who have been baptized in Christ and put on Christ, you see, it's in Christ where the blood is. And that's where we're covered with the blood. And we put on Christ and we're in Christ. And if you're here today and you don't have the blood of Christ applied to your life, we want you to do that today. And if you're here today, perhaps you were baptized, but you know you haven't done these other things and you're outside the blood of Christ, we urge you to, as he said in 1 John 1, confess your sin, and he is faithful and just to forgive you your sin and cleanse you of all unrighteousness, so he'll wash you with the blood of Christ. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians. Turn over, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, we want to begin with verse number 5. He says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. And so, This is the lesson to you this morning. Are you in the blood of Christ? Is His blood covering you? And if not, this is an opportunity to make that right. For whatever needs to be done, to put you into the blood of Christ, to draw the blood of Christ back over you if you once were baptized and was in His will. We give the opportunity this morning to be covered with the blood of Christ and to be right in the sight of God. And so that your sins and your iniquities will not